If we can turn our Bibles now to the book of Revelation, in the Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I want to read the whole chapter for us. Revelation chapter 5. What the Apostle Paul wrote, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honour, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Amen. All right. You know, sometimes it's good just to have a little bit of a look heavenward, kind of forget this old world for 5 minutes and have a look a little bit ahead and see what lies ahead, get a little insight into heaven and some of the things of heaven. And I trust this morning that would be what the Lord would show us, something that would be an encouragement to us, a blessing to us. And I trust this morning we've come a little bit with the attitude of the psalm writer when he said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless his holy name. And may that be our heart's desire this morning. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you and praise you and bless you. What a privilege it is to gather in thy presence. A privilege to read your word. A privilege to know that we have one who is our teacher, the Spirit of God. The one who the Lord Jesus said would guide and lead us into all truth. And may this morning be one of those mornings, Lord, when you would meet with us once again. And Lord, may we look a little more heavenward this morning for these few moments together. And Lord, may we, Lord, have our hearts filled with praise and worship unto our God and unto the Lamb. And Father, we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, just go back into chapter 4, verse 10. Just look at something there. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him. that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. When we look back into chapter 5, we notice the last verse there, the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I don't think we'd have to think too hard to realise that one of the things that you and I ought to do is to worship the Lord, amen? If we're going to reflect what takes place in heaven, then our heart should be a heart which is a heart of worship toward our God and toward our Saviour. The word worship, it's interesting, I looked at some definitions of it, and the idea is various ways, but to prostrate oneself in homage or to do reverence or to adore. This is what we see here. Notice the Bible says there, they fell down and worshipped him. You know, this idea we just bounce into God's presence, you know, that's okay, but true worship involves, again, verse 10 of chapter 4, the 24 elders fall down before him. We're going to worship God. I'm not saying we all have to lie on the floor this morning, but that ought to be our heart attitude. So we come before the Lord, we come to worship him. As the dictionary says, it means to adore, pay divine honour to reverence with a supreme respect or veneration. And you say, what does the word veneration mean? Well, it means this. It's the highest degree of respect and reverence. It's a respect which is mingled with some degree of awe, a feeling or sentiment excited by the dignity and superiority of a person or by the sacredness of his character. So if we're going to worship the Lord, then we need to bow our hearts before him, don't you? With this worship, the degree of respect and reverence that belongs to God. We live in a day and age where God's name even is treated as a swear word so often. There's no true worship of God, is there? There's no real sensitivity to God anymore. God's somewhere out there, and even for Christians, you know, he's there somewhere. Sometimes we get a little careless. We need to understand that if we're going to get ready for heaven, then we better practice doing some proper worship, amen? We better worship the Lord, as the Lord Jesus said, that the Father seeks people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we need to remember that, I believe, this morning is one of the things we need to remember. But in Revelation chapter 4, I want to just have a look at that first of all, because it gives us a little insight into heaven itself. In verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll shew thee things which must be hereafter. Obviously, it's quite a loud and a strong voice. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. John is having trouble here trying to describe for us exactly what it's like. You just imagine. We can't even imagine, I guess, really, what it would be like to come into the very presence of God and to be able to see him on the throne there. And as John said, there was a rainbow. It's like an emerald. It's very hard to describe. It's just like that. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, the fourth beast had even six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And that was the verse that was put up for the fellowship meetings to encourage us to think about the holiness of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That ought to cause us to bow our hearts before the Lord, shouldn't it? That ought to cause us, our hearts, to be bowed in reverence and awe of the God who created all things, because that worship is what? We notice there, verse 9, when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I wonder this morning, how often do we worship God as our creator? The one who created all things, the one who gives life and breath to all. How often do you and I take some time just to get on our face before the Lord and worship him as the creator of all things? I don't know about you, but sometimes I do that. Probably should do it a lot more often. But to give God the praise and the glory, to worship him for who he is, he's the creator of all. The one who spoke the worlds into existence, the one who gives life and breath to all. And you know that includes the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mention his name in this chapter, but we know as we look through the scriptures that the Bible is very clear that the Lord Jesus is the one who created all things. By him all things consist, the Bible says. And so he needs to be worshipped as our creator as well. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are holy, holy, holy. I believe that's a reference at least to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God, God Almighty, which is and is to come. And so it includes the Lord Jesus when we worship God as the Creator, created all things. Notice, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do we bring pleasure to our Creator? Do our lives bring pleasure to our God? That's what they're supposed to do, amen. That's why we were created, to bring pleasure to our God, the one who created all things. But as we go on now into chapter 5, as we've already read, John says, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, As I looked there at the throne, and I saw on the right hand of him there that sat on the throne, there was a book written. And he doesn't tell us what the name of the book was, what it involved, but I think we don't have to be too clever to work out that it contains the judgments that follow after chapter 6. I've read a few commentaries, and some of them come up with all sorts of theories and ideas about what the book is. I think the simplicity is, when you see how the book's open, it reveals the judgments of God that are going to come through what we call the tribulation period. Now, who's worthy to open that kind of a book that contains all the judgments which are going to come upon the earth and what will follow down through eternity? Who's worthy to do that? And John said they looked and they couldn't find anybody, and he couldn't see anybody who was worthy, and he wept because there was no one worthy to open the book. And then one of the elders saith unto him, Weep not, weep not. It's all right, John, stop crying. There is one who is worthy. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the Lord Jesus. You remember in the Old Testament how it was said that it was prophesied that would come, he would be a Lion of the tribe of Judah, speaking of the fact that he's the king. He says that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David, again, one of the names given to the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, the one who would come through the line of David, the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. Don't weep anymore, John. There is one who is worthy. That Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who is the root of David, he has prevailed. He's fulfilled the will of God. He is worthy. He is able. He has earned the right, as it were, to open the book. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. There's the Lord Jesus. as it had been slain. You know, it's interesting, I don't know whether you've ever done a study, but sometime have a look through the book of Revelation and see how many times the Lord Jesus referred to as the Lamb. The Lamb. Remember when John the Baptist saw him coming down that day, he pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. Have a look at a couple of references. Have a look in Revelation 21. There's others besides these, but just get towards the end to see that the Lord Jesus there, he's the beginning, he's the Alpha and Omega. At the start of the book and at the end of the book, he's still there. Revelation 21, and notice what it says there in verse 22. Now John is looking into this eternity, the city that came down from God. And verse 22, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and," well, notice what, "and the Lamb," they're the temple of it. "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." You can understand why the Lamb was worthy to open the book, amen. They don't need a temple up there. They don't need any light up there. You have a look in verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life," they're the ones that will be there in that holy city which will come down from God. Those who have their names written in the Lamb's book of life, those who have trusted Christ as their Saviour, nobody else will be there for that. And then in verse 1 of chapter 22, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." He's there on the throne with the Father, ruling eternally. "In the midst of the street and either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God," notice, "and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him." Again, speaking of the Lord Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. "He came down to earth and he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him," but not out through eternity. His throne's there in the city. He is the light. He is the one who is worthy to open the book. And as we look into this chapter 5 again in Revelation, notice what it says there again in verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Seven, they tell us, is the number of perfection, which refers to God. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints." You notice again their attitude before the Lord. They're falling down. There's no sort of arrogance in God's presence. Hey, what about me? No. When we're in God's presence and we're worshipping God the way we ought to, there's a humility there. There's a I'm not worthy attitude that's there. And verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." How come the Lamb is worthy? Well, they tell us, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." The host of heaven tell us why the Lord Jesus was worthy to open the book. Why? Because he was slain. He shed his precious blood so that sinners might be saved. Amen. He's worthy to open the book. He was slain and redeemed us. He paid the price. And we notice in these verses here that he is seen as the Lamb. He is the one who was slain. We see his sacrifice here. We get down, just jump for a minute down to verse 14. "The four beasts said amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." He's worshipped also as God, and we'll talk about that a little more. But the Lamb, the Son of God, the one who came from heaven's glory, laid it all aside so that you and I might be redeemed. Amen. That ought to invoke within us an awe. That ought to invoke with us a reverence. That ought to invoke with us a humility that we bow before the Lord and say, Lord, as unworthy as we are, you are worthy. Lord, you were slain. You shed your blood. Lord, we bow before you to thank you and praise you and bless you. Oh my. Verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. That's a big crowd. A few there. Notice what they're saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. What a chorus that is, amen. We notice there the seven things mentioned. Four of those deal particularly with the qualities that he possessed, and then the other three are the attitude we ought to have toward this one, the Lamb that was slain. He is worthy. They tell us that. I believe he's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. He was worthy to take the book, and he's worthy of our worship this morning. Worthy, that Lamb that was slain, to receive power. Worthy to receive power. Remember what the Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 28. He said, all authority, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. He's worthy because he has all power and all authority. He's not some little, deity out there, whatever, whatever. No, he is God. He is worthy. He has all power. He has all authority. We need to remember that. And notice what he says next, that they said he is worthy to receive power and riches. He's worthy to receive riches. Have a look in 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Notice what it says, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen. How good is that? That he's worthy of our praise, isn't he? Although he was rich, what did he do? For your sakes he became poor, as Paul tells us in Philippians, and we read it through the scriptures. He humbled himself under death, even the death of the cross. He became poor. He was born of Mary, Joseph and Mary. They were just a poor couple. He wasn't wealthy. He laid all that aside. But now in heaven's glory, he's worthy to receive riches. He's worthy. He's the one who we ought to worship. You have a look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul says this, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, as I was thinking about this message this morning, and I thought, Lord, this is a hard one. This is a difficult one, because there's so many things that we really don't understand fully. We don't comprehend. And Paul gives us that here, doesn't he? He says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. It's a little bit like in the previous chapter, isn't it, where he's talking about the love of Christ which passes knowledge. When we start talking about our God, our brains have a little bit of trouble, amen? Because he is so great, he is so wonderful, he is so amazing, and he is so worthy of all our praise and all our adoration. And John says, when I was there, I heard him singing, and they said he's worthy to receive power, riches. Notice the idea of riches also is this, a dictionary definition is his abundant fullness of spiritual and eternal blessings for men, the unsearchable riches of Christ. All things belong to him, amen. And then they say not only power and riches, but wisdom. Wisdom, he's worthy to receive wisdom. Have a look in Corinthians again, this time 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See what Paul writes here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He is wisdom personified. He is worthy of praise because he is wisdom. The wisdom of God, that's the Lord Jesus. You have a look in Colossians. Colossians and chapter 2. And that's what Paul writes here about the Lord Jesus. Notice verse 1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches, with the full assurance of understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord Jesus, he is wisdom personified, and we need to worship him and praise him and adore him for that. Amen. He is wisdom personified. What do they say in Revelation 5? Power, riches, wisdom, and then strength. He is worthy to be praised, the Lamb that was slain. Why? Because of his strength. Come back into 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. Notice verse 3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you it is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. But notice what he's saying there. He was crucified through weakness. Through weakness. It wasn't that he didn't have the abilities or anything, but he laid aside his deity. He took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. He's now in weakness at that point. Through weakness he was crucified, yet he liveth by the power or the strength of God. Now all strength, all power belongs unto him. He is worthy to be worshipped because of his strength. We know in Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul wrote, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All strength belongs to him. When you think about these things we're looking at here, why should we ever, ever doubt? Why should we ever worry in our Christian walk? When we see these attributes of the Lord Jesus and we see these truths about him. So how should we respond to that? Well, back in Revelation, what do they say? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honour. 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 Remember what we said about veneration, the highest degree of respect and reverence. A respect mingled with some degree of awe, a feeling of sentiment excited by the dignity and superiority of a person or by the sacredness of his character. We ought to honour him, amen, with our lives. That's what we ought to do. He is worthy to receive honour. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Notice verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with what? Glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He's the Lamb that was slain, and therefore he is worthy to receive glory. He's worthy to receive honour. You think about Philippians chapter 2. Have a look there in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. He is worthy of honour, and one day he will receive it from all. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, he being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Notice what it says, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's worthy of honour. Every knee one day will honour him. Every knee will bow and honour him to the glory of God. You and I need to practice that now, amen. Give him the glory due unto his name, the honour due unto his name. Because not only is he worthy of honour, but he's worthy of glory. You have a look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And notice verse 14, he is worthy of glory. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that's the Lamb of God, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's why he's worthy of glory. Why? Because he's full of grace and truth. Think about it, the Lamb that was slain, full of grace and truth, he is worthy to receive glory, his majesty, his divine and heavenly radiance, shall we say. And then, as though that wasn't enough, we read also power and riches, wisdom, strength, honour, glory and blessing. He's worthy of our blessing. He's worthy of our praise, and we know that he will be eternally praised, because that's what we're seeing here, isn't it, in this passage. And not only in chapter 4 will he be worshipped and praised forever as the Creator, but chapter 5 tells us he'll be worshipped and praised forever as the Lamb that was slain. Amen. And may the Lord help us to remember these truths, and may he help us to bring these truths into our lives in a real way, and bring these truths into our prayer life when we're getting before the Lord, and get down and worship him who is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And again, we know that this Lamb of God, he is God. Verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. What's that saying? He's God. The Lamb is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I found that verse is very helpful in talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. They can't answer it. You say, what do you mean? I asked them the question, what do you think Revelation 5:13 is talking about when everyone there bows down to worship him that sat on the throne, we'll call him Jehovah, and the Lamb? If the Lamb is not God, how come he's going to be worshipped forever with the one who sits on the throne with equal worship? They can't answer it. Why? Because he is God. He's the Son of God, and he is worthy, as the Lamb slain, he is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And may the Lord help us to think on these things. I'll just share something which William MacDonald, how he put it with these things. He said, power, power over my life, over the church, over the world, over the universe. He said, riches, all my silver and all my gold, they belong to him. Wisdom, the finest of my intellectual powers, they belong to him. Strength, my physical strength for his service, that belongs to him. honor, a single pure desire to magnify him in all my ways. That belongs to him. He's the lamb slain. Glory, my entire life devoted to glorifying him. And then he says, blessing, all my powers of praise for him. I think it's a good summary, isn't it? I think that encapsulates very much what these verses are for us in a personal way. Do we worship the Lamb in a way that he is worthy of? Old John Bunyan said this, "Oh, this Lamb of God, he had a whole heaven to himself, myriads of angels to do his pleasure, but this could not satisfy him. He must have sinners to share it with him. If you're ever going to sing up there, you'll have to start down here. Can you say, thou wast slain and hast redeemed me by thy blood?" Let's pray.